What if there was someone who wanted to help you find a job? Choose Express Employment Professionals, and that's exactly what you'll get. They can help you find work in any industry. With just one interview at Express, you have a connection to endless jobs, whether you want a contract job, a new full-time role, or a summer job. Choose Express Employment Professionals. Express has more than 860 locally owned locations and no fees for job seekers. Visit expresspros.com today to find a location near you. Get ready to simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Plus, with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices, you can keep everyone entertained while on the road. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience for yourself and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicles and operation compatible device and vehicle require. Hey there, mamas. Everyone knows how it goes. You're giving it your all to breastfeed or pump for your little one. But there are times when you might need a little extra help. That's where Traditional Medicinals Mother's Milk comes in. Mother's Milk is an organic herbal tea blend designed to support healthy lactation for breastfeeding and pumping moms. Plus, it's caffeine-free. Learn more about Mother's Milk at traditionalmedicinals.com/mothersmilk. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Summer is almost here, and I'm so excited to go on vacation with my kids next month. We love going anywhere warm with a beach. I always make packing harder than it needs to be, but this year I'm doing all of my summer shopping at Macy's. I can find everything I need from bathing suits, sandals, summer dresses, shorts, even towels and sunscreen at Macy's. Whether you're packing for a destination vacation or planning a backyard staycation, Macy's has what you need. You can shop top brands like Levi's, Dolce Vita, Lacoste, and more. Shop at Macy's.com/ownyourstyle.
Wind Down with Jana Kramer, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Should we just get right to the penises, or what are we talking about today?
Oh, man.
What penises? What are you referring to?
Which ones?
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
There is a lot of them. Which one are you referring to?
I don't know. You said let's get to the penises. And I mean, my mind's going to a lot of places. I just want to know.
Did you see the headline last week?
Again, which headline?
There's a lot of penis headlines.
No, yeah, they were like,
I have a Google alert.
They picked up. That was just so silly because it's your fault.
Oh,
like you are the reason why that whole thing even started. They're like, why would she talk about that? I'm like, in my defense, technically Easton was the one that brought that up. Like, there has to be something wrong with him. Like I'm sure he has a micro penis. I'm like, that was Easton. Why didn't anybody quote Easton? Why didn't it say Easton hopes that Jana Kramer's boyfriend has a micro penis?
I would love that headline. I didn't realize that made press, and I apologize. Yeah. I don't want to. When I said it, I realized that couldn't come off as like body shaming and stuff. And I did feel bad. If you have a micro penis out there, I'm sure it's beautiful and there's someone out there that loves it. And all bodies are beautiful. For sure. I was just looking for something about this man that might explain other qualities about him. That's all.
It was just so funny though, because I'm like, I didn't try to bring that up, but I'm like, but then when you did, I'm like, well, it was kind of funny because I did tell my girlfriends, like, there's got to be something wrong, right? So, but the fact I'm like, that's what they picked up. I was like, oh my gosh. I'm like, not, you know, that I'm happy and...
That would not be a headline.
But,
wow, I'm seeing the headline. Sorry, I'm seeing the headline now. There's multiple news outlets.
Yeah, thanks, Easton. Thank you for that. Really appreciate you.
I just like that it, page six says, Jana Kramer once believed boyfriend had
once
a small penis.
Like, what is that?
I know. I was like, I didn't once believe. Like, that's
they
false.
Took it way out of context.
Yeah, I was like, just not at all. I would never say that. Like, you know, we joked about it, but like, how do you put that?
How do you put once believed?
No, that wasn't, it's a like core
either
belief.
He
of
does
yours.
Or he doesn't. Like,
well, Catherine, you would know.
What?
What?
I was like, okay. Wait a minute. Oh, yeah. Never mind.
Go on.
I forgot about that.
I need some context here, or else there's gonna be more headlines.
Nope, I'm not judging it.
Wow.
I didn't.
Janet Kramer's podcast co-host
speechless.
Has a sexual history with current boyfriend.
Negative, not at all. Not true. No, well, no.
What's this
not
about?
Not where
then?
The story is going. Let's just say I have access to a lot of Jana's stuff.
Okay.
That makes
sense.
And things just kind of pop up, you know, sometimes.
As they do.
And I'm, you know, I was traumatized, but it's fine.
The best. I mean,
who hasn't swiped too far in the camera roll before? I mean, we've all been there.
Oh, if only it was me going through the camera roll.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I would have been way more prepared.
Oh, the best part about this is like it happened right before a podcast episode. So we were like about to film and, you know, a picture came up or something when because she was on my computer. I mean, it's my computer, right? And she goes, all of a sudden I hear, oh my God.
Was it an incoming text?
Yeah. And here's the problem. It's like, don't react. But how do you not react to that? Like, you know, in my head in those 2 seconds before I react, it's like, don't react. I could not react.
I love this man's style because, like, I want to pull the curtain back a bit. We record this podcast, in the morning. I know we're in, you guys are in a different time zone, but it's still, like, before noon a lot of the time.
What's and that? This man like, is, like,
want some lunch, Dana? Here you go.
Oh, God. Oh.
Wow.
And so, because we were just being like flirtsy, cutesy, sexy, or whatever. And and then he didn't know that Catherine was on my computer, which has my messages on there.
Does he know now that I saw it?
He does. Oh, I told him.
Okay, that's uncomfortable. It's fine.
So
young love,
right? So we were dying. She was like I go, what? And she goes, that. She goes, I can't unsee it.
The thing is I had forgotten about it. I think I had blocked it out of my mind, but now you're bringing it all back. But also I think it was before, was it our friends Queendom
right
podcast?
Yeah,
because I think everybody else is here.
Oh, that's right. It was ripe. It was ripe. So that wasn't in the morning. That was at night.
The morning
that was at like
okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was our girls.
It was our girls' Queendom. That's right. And we did it at like 8:30.
Because I was like,
Yeah.
I think so. I don't know. I was traumatized. It's fine.
That is so funny. I mean, I guess you can answer the question, though. Was it bigger? Was it small?
I'm not touching that.
I'm just kidding.
Wait, I don't want to dwell on this too much, but what angle did he choose? That's always a tough one.
Oh, my God. I don't remember.
I do. That's the best part.
Oh, shoot. I do. Wow.
Oh,
have you ever sent a dick pic, Easton?
Yes.
Okay. So that's a common thing. Because I got to be honest with you. Like, you know, I've been in the date. You know, I was married for 7-something almost years. Like, I never got dick pics. So, you know, so it's like, I didn't know dick pic was like still a thing. So, like, I was actually.
No one wants them, I don't think.
I don't know.
I've done it with like girlfriends, you know, but like. Even then, I felt weird about it because it's not a good-looking part of the body, I don't think.
A dick?
A dick, yeah.
I disagree.
Okay.
Wow. Okay.
Okay.
You don't like... I mean you're a man. I think girls like... I don't know. Whatever you like. You know? It's okay to like whatever you're into.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that... That's why I asked about the angle, because it's a hard thing to photograph too. You know, as someone,
let's just say it was nice. Okay.
Oh, see, I didn't like the angle.
Oh, I loved the angle. I loved the angle. This is hilarious.
This is like way too far.
Oh my God.
Sorry to my husband.
Great. They were friends.
Because I totally didn't tell him that.
He doesn't listen.
No, it's fine.
I wanted to bring a little comedy because I knew you just got done with therapy and I didn't know what I was walking into.
Thanks. That was with your therapy. That was needed. Dick pic was needed. Okay.
Was it a hard one?
Oh, yeah. It was good, though. God, I love her. I just can't. I leave and I just cry because I love her so much.
I know.
Yeah. No, it was tough. We had cards on the ground.
Oh, the cards. Yeah. Oh, she goes,
I usually wait 10 sessions till I get to this. And we're not at 10, but we're going to go for it. I was like, Amy.
What are the cards?
It's like you put, they're like emotions, basically. Mm-hmm. And you put in one pile ones that you're feeling right now, ones that you want to feel in the future, and then ones that don't apply. Mm-hmm. Let's just say mine were all over the place. Mm. They were all over the place, but it's good.
I still have a photo of mine, actually. I'll pull it up because I'm curious to see which, like, where, if we were, ours are the same. But, like, I remember mine is, like, a lot of mine was, like, it was when I was still married. Like, I felt scared and sad and closed off and broken. And, like, those were, like, all of my cards. And it's, like, where I want to go. And she was kind of like, okay, like, and how do you get to that? And I'm like, don't stay in my marriage, you know, or, you know, and she was just like, and, you know, she's not trying to lead me in that direction at all. But then she's like, okay, well, you know, or what else can we do? Or it's like, it's just hard realizing that when you're like, oh shoot, these are the cards I laid down.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like this, like, it kind of sucks to see, but it's also, I feel like, very healing to see too.
Yeah.
Notice where you're at.
Yeah. I didn't have a clear answer for how do you get there. That's the hard part. You're so clear.
I mean, I wasn't, because I stayed another year.
But you kind of were clear with what the answer was, I feel like.
Well, things had to change or I had to leave. Yeah. And things didn't change. So I had to, you know.
Yeah.
Why is Mark coming on?
Oh, no.
Probably. Someone, I was like, oh, Mark. No. Alert them.
I gotta get you caught up, bro.
Oh, no. There he goes. There he comes.
I don't think I could have had that conversation with Dad here.
Really?
Earlier? I don't know. It's uncomfortable.
Mark, did they tell you to come on?
No, but that is not a good reaction to me joining. It should be, hey, Mark's here. Awesome.
Mark's here, yeah.
Can I just, you shaved.
Well, I'm always clean shaven.
Oh, well, maybe it's the hat.
Maybe it's the hat. I don't know.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't think it looks different.
That's true. I got so many DMs about how people think you look so different than what they thought. Someone thought you had a big beard.
Yes, everyone thinks I have a beard and that I'm really overweight. And that's followed my entire, I've been on radio for 30 years and I get that all the time.
Like, wow. I even DM'd him and I was like, Mark, I have like hundreds.
He sent us a text and I started thinking, I think I thought you looked different too before I met you, for sure. Oh, but I don't remember what I thought you looked like.
Think heavy and bearded?
I don't think so. I think I was just surprised when I saw you. I don't know.
I don't know why my voice doesn't match my face. I think that's strange, but whatever.
I think it matches you perfectly. That's why I'm so confused. Did you hear any of this previous conversation?
No, I was just out for a hike and I was like, I got to get back in time for wind down. And then I was a few minutes late. And I was like, well, Jenna's sometimes a few minutes late. But no, you were on time. I was late. I'm sorry. Here I am.
That's fine. Have you ever sent a dick pic before?
No, I never have. And I've also never sent one, never received one.
Oh, that's good.
That's going to change.
But who would I would only send one to my wife, and I don't think she'd be too thrilled about that 20 years in.
Yeah, I mean, she's probably like, you know, at this point, whatever. Yeah,
she's like, okay, good for you.
All right, well, you missed quite an exciting chat. It was pretty funny, but you can listen back, but we're going to take a break, and then we're going to continue on the conversation we had from last week with Dr. Ramani.
Hey there. Did you know that May is Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? Macy's is celebrating by highlighting some cool AAPI-owned brands like Cardon, Kaja, Amelia George, and Hey Maeve. I mean, I love that a big brand like Macy's is supporting Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month. It's important. But you know what? The best reason to check out these brands is that they're just really awesome. Seriously, you need to check them out. And you know what else? You have a great opportunity to open up access to college for AAPI students and help them succeed by donating to APIA Scholars. APIA is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students. You can donate online or just round up your purchase at Macy's when you check out. So do what you can to help. Join Macy's and round up your purchase to the nearest dollar at checkout to support APIA Scholars. Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander owned brands at Macy's.com or in store.
Get ready to simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Plus, with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices, you can keep everyone entertained while on the road. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience for yourself and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicles and operation compatible device and vehicle require. So I've recently got some boots in the mail that I had to try because I'm a boot girl. I love boots, but wow, I'm never going back. Tecovas, you guys, this festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores have leather and custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's Tecovas, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots. What if there was someone who wanted to help you find a job? Not a website, but a person in your community that would help you for free? Choose Express Employment Professionals, and that's exactly what you'll get. Express Employment Professionals is the local jobs expert you can trust, and they never charge a fee to help with your job search. Go to expresspros.com to find the office near you or download the Express Jobs app to get started. With a wide range of opportunities in a variety of industries, from welding to sales, forklift operator to customer service, the team at Express is ready to help you or someone you know take the next career step. Whether you're looking for a contract job for the summer or a new full-time role, turn to Express Employment. Interviewing with Express Employment Professionals can be as easy as a phone call, and one application with Express puts you in the running for numerous opportunities in your community. Don't go in your job search alone. Visit expresspros.com today. Hi, Dr. Romani.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. It's nice to see you, meet both of you.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you.
We talk a lot about what you're an expert in, and it's an absolute honor to have you on the show because
you are
an expert in this field. And I'm just curious, how did you become an expert in narcissism? Was it a relationship you had or experience?
It was a slow burn. Actually, I was, as a professor, I was an academic and doing research on really difficult patients that would come into clinics and make the nursing and reception staff miserable. Mm. And at the same time, I also had a private practice and I was seeing patients coming in and talking about the same marriage over and over again. Then it dawned on me, nobody's teaching these clients about narcissism and they're blaming themselves for this other person's abusive behavior. And I thought, oh, this is actually, if I just educate them on this, maybe this will set a lot of them free. And it did. I myself have family members who are horribly narcissistic. I've been in relationships, I've been in work settings, but I got to be honest with you, it was other people's experiences that pushed me in this area. And I've been doing this work, God, since the mid or like 2006. And mm-hmm. when I first started doing it, nobody was talking about this. And people are like, girl, you're working on something nobody cares about. So I care about it. So I don't need anyone else to care about. It seems to be helping the people I'm working with. And then over the next 10 years, more people got more interested in it. So it was sort mm-hmm. of something I was doing quite quietly for a very long time.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting too, because I feel like even just from the stuff that I share on my social media or what we share on the podcast, like so many people are like, oh wow, like I had no idea that like this is a part of narcissism, or oh my gosh, my husband does this. Or, and then I start to feel like a little bad, because I'm like, well, I don't want to ruin people's stuff. But at the same time, it's nice for, I think for me at least too, to get awareness, and for other people to get awareness of things. Like, I mean, in my relationship, I was like, I felt crazy, and I felt, you know, like, well, why does he hate me so much? And all these things. But I'm like, okay, wait, that's not actually the reality. And I don't know. So it's nice to get information.
Yeah. I mean, I think that a lot of people struggle with this. They're like, oh, I don't want to use this word. It feels so critical. It feels so judgy. And it's so interesting how much effort we put into protecting abusers. Mm. It's really fascinating. Like, how can we make this abusive person look good? Mm-hmm. I can't get behind that anymore, you know? And if people don't like the words, come up with words you feel more comfortable with. But at the end of the day, somebody who's doubting your reality, invalidating mm-hmm. you, leaving you constantly off balance, and then having their tantrum so then they feel better, but you're left holding the bag, it's not okay. It's just simply not okay.
Yeah, I mean, I know I can say, I mean, the amount of times I'm like, hey, can we take that out? Because I don't want Mike to get mad at me if I say this. Or, hey, can we take... But it's like, why am I so afraid of his reaction? But it's that reaction is like, but wait, no, don't hate me. Like, I'm not the one that, like, you know, like, I didn't do that. Like, you're the one that ruined the marriage and all these things. But like, why do you hate me? But yet I can't speak my truth because you want me to shut up and stop talking about it. And that's the past. So
well, I think you bring up such an important point here, which is so many people in narcissistic relationships feel like the bad one. Mm-hmm. That I'm the bad one, that I'm saying these bad things. So many people become very isolated with their truth, right? Mm-hmm. They might have maybe one or two really close friends. And if they're lucky, a therapist that gets it. But then to the world, they feel like, do I need to keep faking it? Do I need to keep having people thinking that this is okay? And if I'm the one who's calling this stuff out, does this make me the bad one? Mm-hmm. And remember, the narcissistic person's needs are often being met in the relationship all the time because the other person's running in circles. So they're not the bad one, right? So it really traps a person in an interesting corner. And I think that it's funny you put it that way, is that you said, I was afraid of his reaction. You know, I didn't want to say things. I was afraid of his reaction. And for you, Jenna, it's also about going back and thinking, when in your life were you also afraid of other people's reactions? Like, where does that come from? Because for some folks, it's like you said, I don't want to be the bad one. But for other folks, it's, I'm just afraid of anger and rage. Mm-hmm. Like, they may have grown up in a home that was mm-hmm. characterized by anger or rage. So those kinds of reactions are terrifying for them. So they keep giving in and giving in and giving in to the narcissistic person, so they don't have to tolerate something that is so unsettling for them.
Mm-hmm.
That's so true. That's a good question.
So, yeah, I mean, what do you do, or what would you say for someone that is co-parenting with mm-hmm. someone that, with, you know, yeah. Like, how would you recommend stepping into those waters? Cause my whole thing is I know this, I talked to last week. I said, I engage because I'm thinking that I'm going to get empathy from right, the past.
Right. And you're not. No. So right there. So that right there, you just gave the core of what the key element of how to co-parent is, which is radical acceptance and realistic expectations. The empathy wasn't there in the marriage. Why is it all of a sudden going to start showing up now?
Sure.
And some people believe, well, it's their kids, so that's going to bring out empathy. Not so much. I mean, ultimately, the narcissistic person is very self-serving, and the children are end up being sort of accessories in that life. And so so it's a realistic expectation that none of these patterns are going to change. And what I often tell people who are co-parenting with a narcissist and they're no longer in their relationship anymore, I tell them, you're doing the equivalent of single parenting with an elephant on your back because you still have to negotiate this territory with the narcissist. Mm-hmm. The challenge people have with their co-parenting with a narcissist is they can't believe that this person keeps breaking the rules. And I say the realistic expectation is they're always going to break the rule. I tell the folks who are single, who are co-parenting with a narcissist, You are the sole bringer of routine, of order, of empathy. You've got to be two parents, because the other parent is either a Disneyland parent, or they kind of show up and are on point when they want to be, but not at other times. Mm-hmm. So you're the place where you bring consistency, you bring safety, you bring the things that a child needs. And where a lot of people get stuck is they're like, this is so not fair. Mm-hmm. Okay. And life's not fair. You know, so what is fair is recognizing, and we know this from the research, all a kid needs is one really good parent that's on point. One really good parent can save a child. So a lot of people say, my kids are going to be ruined. I tell every parent who's co-parenting with a narcissist, the biggest risk people have when they have a narcissistic parent, is, even if it's only one, is that their child is going to struggle with anxiety. Because it's so unpredictable. You don't know if your parent is on point. Like you just don't know how to please them. It's a lot of hoop jumping. You might even see your other parent struggling. So I'd say the majority of survivors of childhood narcissistic parents end up as anxious adults. And we can sort of step them back from that. The bigger concerns are the kids who end up going off the rails in different ways. Like, for example, they become narcissistic themselves, or they turn to other ways to cope. They rebel in a really hard way. Drugs, alcohol, you know, acting out, sex, rock, you know, drugs, rock and roll kind of thing. But by and large, people become anxious from this. So I tell folks who are co-parenting, choose your battles wisely. Some people say, this is what the parenting agreement says. And they get into that fight. I say, listen, let's say, give you an example. A lot of narcissistic folks during divorces will fight tooth and nail for custody. The way they want things, the qualities they want, they'll fight, fight, fight. And you break your heart and you relent on some of it. Then the time comes when they're actually supposed to take the kids, maybe 6 to 9 months out. The fight is no longer there. And they're like, well, I can't do this weekend and I can't do the school thing. And you know what I tell the healthier co-parent? I say, grab up those dates like nobody's business. Every day with your kids is a good day. Mm-hmm. They just wanted to show you, they wanted to beat you down. I'm not convinced they ever wanted to be with the kids. So when you can get those kids, don't say, but you said, mm-mm. Just document that on 7 days of a month, they said they were going to be with them. They went out of town and they did this. Because if you decide to update the parenting agreement and you're using an app, think something like Talking Parents or something like that, using an app to document all of that, that can actually then be entered into a court record. So I tell people, any day you can get your kids, good day. And I understand it might be inconvenient. Another thing to remember, if you're co-parenting with a narcissist, plan on them dropping the ball. Always have your plan B and your reinforcements in place. So when they can't show up and they won't do this, you're just seamlessly like, okay, no worries. Got it. Mm-hmm. And people say, well, I feel like I'm being taken advantage of. I tell folks, this would have been a lot easier if you got 100% custody. So in a way, you would have been already doing these workarounds. It's not about fair. It's not about they're getting away with something. It's about your kids. And that's what I always tell people when it comes to co-parenting.
Yeah. And I also feel like too, I mean, that's really good advice where I was having a tough time because I, you know, obviously I didn't want to be divorced. I don't want to be co-parenting, but when I do have my kids now, it's like my main focus is giving them memories, because they're not going to remember that they were with mom 70% of the time and dad 30. Like, they're going to remember the memories we make, the times we spend together, what we do. They're not going to remember like, oh, well, I mean, they'll probably know with my situation, the 70-30, like, yes, we were at mom's more, but still, like, they're not going to know the exact, you know, when they're kids. So I'm like, just make the memories and focus on that. And then, yeah, I mean, to your point, he asked me if I, you know, if I wanted them over his holiday break. And I was like, 1000%, absolutely. Like, cause I'm just, I want that time with my babies as much as possible. So yeah, I love that. I do have a question though on, okay, because there's a lot of characteristics of narcissism. So how many do you have to actually be a narcissist? Because I feel like a lot of times you can look at it and go, well, like, I mean, I kind of like do maybe one of those.
So what we want to remember is that when we think about narcissism, think of it as like sort of the core elements of it. And those are things like lack of empathy, entitlement, arrogance, grandiosity, being very sensitive and reactively sensitive when somebody gives criticism or feedback, being really egocentric, being really superficial, constantly seeking validation. That's the core. Okay. Now, some people say, well, I like praise. Does that make me narcissistic? No, that makes you a human being, right? Mm-hmm. Or a person might say, I don't know. I love clothes. I love fashion. Is that superficial? No, not if you're empathic alongside that. You see what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. I think people kind of get lost in sort of the armchair kind of theatrical version of narcissism. And they forget that it's really a constant pervasive presence. This is not somebody who is usually a nice person. And then on a day when they're tired or a lot's going wrong, they snap a little bit and then they quickly apologize. Like, I had no right to do that. This is not one bad day. This is about years, lifetimes of bad days interspersed with good ones. That's how they trick us, right? Mm-hmm. They're charming. They're charismatic. They're confident. They're curious about us. They seem super fun until they don't. And then the bad days get mixed in with the good days. But the problem is the bad days are brutal. They're abusive and they're invalidating and they're manipulative and they're gaslighty. They're terrible bad days. It's not just somebody who's just, I don't know, leaving towels on the floor. So I don't, you know, one thing I tell people is there's no such thing as healthy narcissism. Narcissism by definition is an unhealthy pattern. I think that it's on a continuum. There's milder levels of narcissism where some people are more almost emotionally stunted, really immature, really vapid, really ridiculous, really validation seeking. Their empathy is spotty. Like if they're having a good day, they think everyone's having a good day. So stunted, they're like forever adolescent. Mm-hmm. That's at the milder level. But as we keep going into the more severe levels, it's really, really bad for us. But even those milder levels, I don't see how a person could make a relationship of any depth go with a person like that for any long period of time. As soon as the going gets tough, those people have no interest in real life. They just want to, again, forever be childish and immature. And so they're not great for marriage and children and growing old together. They're not made for that.
So on the other side of that, I just think, you know, it's such a thing now. Like you said, people weren't really talking about it much 10 years ago. Now we're all starting to talk about it. So if people are recognizing this in themselves and they are owning that and they're going to, you know, want to try and get better, do you just recommend therapy for them? Or like, how do you get out of this narcissistic behavior?
So it's a good question. In the majority and in the vast majority of cases, this doesn't change. There really doesn't. It is the ones who change are the unicorns. I think I've seen significant change in a narcissist twice in my career. And I've been doing this for 25 years. Okay. Wow. In my own life, like personal life, not people I treat, I've seen significant change twice. I mean, and I'm 56. Right. So I'm telling you, like, these are not short periods of time that, you know, it doesn't happen. And I'll tell you why. It's very, very hard to find a therapist that can work with a narcissistic client. These are the, you know, these are the Jedis of therapy. Like, it's very, very, I've worked with many narcissistic clients, some of them 10 years or longer. I think I'm a good therapist. I've done amazing work with many clients, but the narcissistic clients, I'm not kidding you. I think we've moved the needle like a millimeter and we've done good work. And it's just, the problem is this: when a narcissistic person faces frustration, stress, disappointment, anything that sort of pops their little bubble, boom, game on, they lose it. And they take it out on the people around them. Mm-hmm. Until they can manage that, they get out of their heads that everything always has to be perfect for them all the time, they're going to keep having these meltdowns. So yes, I think therapy is absolutely critical. And I would say for somebody who says, I don't like this pattern in me, I am aware I'm blowing people's lives up, I am aware that I'm acting like a jerk, I am aware that I'm not a nice person, great. Okay. I think it takes a lot of courage to do that. Yes, therapy. But above and beyond therapy, every day, every hour, every 15, every minute of every day, that narcissistic person has to be self-aware of how their words, their actions, their everything affects other people, and think before they speak, find ways to cope with their disappointment, recognize other people have needs. I have to tell you, I've worked with some narcissistic clients, and I remember a couple in particular who said they really did. They gave it the old college try. They said, I can't be bothered. This is exhausting. And you know what they said? I'm going to break up my marriage. I'm going to end my marriage. And one person in particular, he had a woman on the side. He's like, I'm ending my marriage. I'm ending my relationship with this woman I'm having an affair with. I'm moving out. I'm moving into an apartment. I have lots of friends that I don't, you know, and they're fine with me being an ass. And so And then that's it. And they, this person recognized, I don't have what it takes. If, and I don't want to hurt people. This person acknowledged, I don't want to hurt people, but I can't be in a relationship because I can't, I don't have patience for this. I don't care about another person's feelings other than at the most superficial level. And then he found someone. He's like, but I like sex. He found someone he paid once a month or maybe twice a month, come over, hang out, leave at 2 a.m. And he's like, that's really all I really wanted. And it was an incredible revelation because this was somebody saying, this is too much work. It's almost like trying to lose weight. We know what we need to do, change what we eat, exercise. Most people are like, oh, heck no, I got to eat me my cheesecake. I'm not giving up this other stuff. And it's a very similar model for people who are narcissistic. A lot of them don't, you know, even if they want to do the work, it is a daily commitment to that. I think many narcissistic people, though, have no insight. But the ones who do have insight, if you did the work every day and paid attention and recognized it's not okay to rage at other people when you don't get your way and you have to have empathy, and yes, you have to wait in line like the rest of us. I mean, like I said, I've seen it happen maybe 4 times in my life. And they worked hard. They worked hard.
What if the narcissist says they only act this way towards you because you're like, because they hate you so much? Like they only act this anger. Like, I'm not like that. I'm not that person anymore. I only do this because of you, and you bring this out in me.
It's not true. I mean, it's completely not true. This is a pervasive pattern. What we see with a lot of narcissistic folks, though, is they can really be brutal in their most high stakes relationship, like an intimate relationship or a family relationship or something like that. But all of their other relationships are so superficial and are giving them narcissistic supply. Mm-hmm. You're such a great guy. Yep. You're so cool. There's a lot of that, you know, but there's no depth there, right? These people are almost either as superficial as the narcissist, or they're enablers, or they're benefiting in some way financially or something. There's some benefit to them for staying in the friendship. So all of their other relationships are so superficial or with enablers. So it is quite conceivable that just a very small group of people are getting the worst of it because the other people aren't going deep with them. But this idea that you're the only person I treat this way, they treat everybody badly. Imagine this is a person who would treat store clerks badly or a person on an airplane badly. They're just rude when things don't go the way they want. It's just that that high impact person, the intimate partner, usually gets the worst of it.
Yeah. So when, you know, obviously you've got amazing books out. So the one that Should You Stay or Should You Go? I mean, what is your number one thing that you tell couples or people in relationships when dealing with this? Like when, because a lot of times they're like, when is enough enough? And I'm like, for me, it was like, you know, I had my final straw, you know, 6-7 years later. But I mean, it took a while. But I think it's hard because they make you feel so crazy that even to this day, even co-parenting, I'm like, am I the, you know, he's like, calling yourself an empath is comical. And I'm like, but I do have empathy. And I'm like, you're calling me a narcissist. Like, you're the narcissist. And it's like this back and forth. Like, I'm like, how, like, it's like, and I'm like, well, I don't know. Maybe I am. Like, then I start to like question it. And I'm like, am I crazy?
Well, that what you just described is gaslighting, right? So everybody, and in addition to the word narcissism, everybody's using the word gaslighting and most people are using it wrong. Gaslighting is not a one-off. It's a process, right? And a gaslighter, you kind of have to have some trust or some skin in the game with them, right? You want, in essence, you believe in that person for some reason. You love them, or they're your boss or your family member. Like, you want to believe them. So over time, what the gaslighter does is they doubt your reality. I never said that. That never happened. You're being too sensitive. You have no right to feel that way. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, so now your reality's died. Like, don't I have a right to feel that way? Or did that really happen?
Well, we're divorced. My feelings don't matter. Like, they're right, not, your feelings his aren't an issue anymore. Yeah.
Your feelings don't matter. Okay. So your reality's being doubted, but then they double down at that point. And then they say, wow, you're so sensitive. Like, have you been seen by a psychiatrist? Because there's something really wrong with you, or you're not remembering stuff. Like, I'm wondering, are you drinking? Like, is something wrong with you? Like, they'll literally try to paint a picture of that person whose reality they've always already doubted as being crazy, or as being something's wrong with them medically, psychiatrically, you name it. So now this person might actually start buying the hype. Maybe I'm the narcissist. Maybe I'm the one who's being unreasonable. Maybe I am too sensitive. I do need to get therapy. And now this person, it's almost like how you bring someone into a cult. You make them so reliant on you for reality that they're stuck. And so that process of gaslighting is why people get stuck in these relationships for so long, because the narcissist in some ways is the holder of the reality. If somebody gets into therapy with someone good, that good therapist would say, girl, you're being gaslighted. And then a person like, what's that? And then you walk them through it and you have them keep journals and bring it. I've had so many clients have recorded conversations and play it in session. And I'm like, gaslight, minimization, abuse, invalidate. Like, we just break it down. And they say, thank you so much. Now I can make some choices. Keep in mind the concept behind should I stay or should I go when I wrote that book was, it's very simplistic to tell everyone going through narcissistic abuse, leave. Obviously, that's the best path, because the less time you spend with the narcissist, the better. It's like something toxic. If you're not near the toxic thing, like secondhand smoke, you won't feel sick, right? The closer you are to it, the sicker it makes you. But that's not an option open to everybody because of custody, because of money, because of culture, religion, whatever a person's reasons are. I have no right to sit there and say, you gotta go. I do understand a lot of people feel stuck or they still aren't ready to go. So I give them both. I tell them, this is what these two pathways and these two options look like. What you say, 6 or 7 years before I figured out what was going on and wanted to get out. That's not odd. I'm to tell you now, I think I've worked with folks who've been in narcissistic marriages for 60 years. Mm. So it literally can take, and they leave when they're 80. Believe it or not, too. Wow. Like, it's not, I mean, there's a point at which more and more people get the knowledge and recognize this is never going to change, because that's the baseline. It's really not going to change. And even if there's a little bit of change, the person hurt by the narcissist has been hurt in such a permanent way. They might say, good for you. You want to go change? Go. But you've damaged me too much. I can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. And so the idea, though, is what the narcissistic person tries to do. It's all about dominance. It's all about power and control. And it's all about harming the other person in a way that it makes it harder to leave. And even when the relationship is done, to sort of keep them down. I really tell people 50% of people stay and 50% of people go. And there's no shame in either of those. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people go and then they come back. And that's also normal too, because there's so much hope that people have. It's going to change. It's going to change. I'm telling you, here to tell you, it's not going to change. Yeah. So, you know, that's the fact is, if you go, it's not going to change. I can give you that guarantee. If you go back, I can also promise you it's not going to get better.
So starting a new relationship, then what are some of the signs that, you know, I mean, obviously right now everything is amazing with my new man, but like, what is something, I mean, I kind of with my history, I'm very sensitive to things, but is there anything that I should be aware of or a sign or anything that you say to people that start new relationships?
I always tell people when they start new relationships after having been through a toxic one, you've got to understand what a healthy relationship is. I'm always struck by how many people don't even know what the definition of a healthy relationship is. And mm-hmm. it's kindness, compassion, respect, mm-hmm. what we call mutuality of regard. Like, you both, there's a back and a forth and awareness of what's important to the other person. There's something we call reciprocity. There's give and take, there's compromise. Mm. And there is a growth orientation that both each person in the relationship wants the other person to grow. In other words, in a narcissistic relationship, the person doesn't want the other person to grow, doesn't want them to succeed because it'll make them look bad, or they are, and all narcissistic people have abandonment fears. They always think the other person's going to go because they're so insecure. That's the true core of narcissism, insecurity and feelings of inadequacy, right? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of sad when you think about it, but I don't care how sad it is. Abuse is abuse. So in a new relationship, I tell people, you got to look for those fundamentals. And if those fundamentals aren't there, you got to get out of Dodge. But then it's almost the behavioral stuff. It's things like, how does a person receive feedback? If a person gets really touchy and defensive mm-hmm. and icky when you give them feedback, a really, really bad sign, because you may not like what someone's saying. They might give you feedback that's uncomfortable in a new relationship. But if that person says, oh, this is so hard for me to hear, but I need to hear it, or can hear, or say, give me a minute, instead of raging or saying, yeah, you say that about me, well, let me tell you this about you. That's the kind of thing we're looking for. I'd say that shows up pretty early in a more toxic relationship. We look at how a person treats other people. How do they treat people who do have less power around them? That might be people who work in service occupations, who might work in a household. How are those people treated? How are they talked about? If there's any dismissive kinds of conversation there, I would tell people to get out. How much validation and admiration do they need? Does it feel like they always have to have every, you know, it's almost the flip side of that. Like when they go in everywhere, they need to be every, you know, bartender's best friend and everyone has to like them. And it's all about how they look to the world. Oh my God,
I like approval.
But it's that approval, though, is different than admiration, Jenna. There's a difference. You know, approval is, that's something for you to work on in your own therapeutic work, because in some ways that's sort of a monkey on our back, but that's very different.
Okay.
That's almost like an inner child piece of you that wants to be approved. Mm-hmm. But admiration is like, look how great I am, you know, and it's very different. Mm-hmm. So something else you'd want to look for. I'd also look at whether someone can be present. Are they always looking at their phone or their watch or out the window? Or it always seems like they're looking out the door to see if someone better is going to sort of metaphorically walk in. Are they able to be present even in moments you might consider boring or tedious? That's another thing to pay attention to. Those are the signs I tell people. And if something doesn't feel good, I also tell people, what's the pace of the relationship? Narcissistic people like fast relationships, because what it means is that red flags get ignored. The faster they move and the quicker they kind of get it, seal the deal. Now a person's in something pretty deep and they're like, oh, this isn't so good, but now I've agreed to, I don't know, live with someone or marry someone or I'm pregnant or whatever. Hmm. Those things can actually get people stuck. And narcissistic people, as a rule, tend to want to go fast because it's just sort of, like I said, for them, it sort of gets around the insecurity for them because they feel that the other person's less likely to leave.
Got it.
Well, Dr. Imani, thank you so much for coming on. And I think hopefully, I mean, I know it helped me a lot and I hope hopefully everyone that's listening, it helped as well. And then we're going to put your books up here on the site. Don't You Know Who I Am? And Should I Stay or Should I Go on Amazon? Get them. I'm ordering them right now. So thank you so much for coming on. And hopefully I'll talk to you soon, but hopefully not. You know, like I kind of want to like stop talking about this now. So, but I appreciate you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for this time. And thank you. And I hope your listeners benefit as you did as well. And let people know that after narcissistic abuse, I've seen actually incredible love stories and life stories. So there is life after this.
I love that. Thank you, honey.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Bye. Bye-bye now.
It's so funny. Like when I listen, I'm like, oh wait, I'm like, well, I mean, I like to move fast sometimes. I was like, but I mean, it's different this time around.
Yeah. And I think that that's just, you can have insecurities, but not be narcissistic.
It's very interesting. Some of that. I mean, so it's good. She's very good. You can tell she's like a professor.
I found it very interesting though. Like, I can't really think of necessarily narcissistic people in my life, but it seems so like kind of hopeless if you see that in yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I guess like so many, like more people wouldn't see that.
They just wouldn't see it.
Yeah. Like, my ex will never say he's one.
That just like kind of made me sad because it's like, well, what's the hope for people that see this in themselves? And it's kind of like, oh, they just don't change.
Right. That's why on this side, I'm like, well, I'm crazy. Maybe he's not. And I'm.
But then the other side is, hopefully you see that as helpful.
Yes.
That she's seen two people.
Right.
Change.
Right. But, in all her years. Yeah. No, that was eye opening for sure.
Hey there. Did you know that May is Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? Macy's is celebrating by highlighting some cool AAPI-owned brands like Cardon, Kaja, Amelia George, and Hey Maeve. I mean, I love that a big brand like Macy's is supporting Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month. It's important. But you know what? The best reason to check out these brands is that they're just really awesome. Seriously, you need to check them out. And you know what else? You have a great opportunity to open up access to college for AAPI students and help them succeed by donating to APIA Scholars. APIA is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students. You can donate online or just round up your purchase at Macy's when you check out. So do what you can to help. Join Macy's and round up your purchase to the nearest dollar at checkout to support APIA Scholars. Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander owned brands at Macy's.com or in store.
Get ready to simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Plus, with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices, you can keep everyone entertained while on the road. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience for yourself and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicles and operation compatible device and vehicle require. So I've recently got some boots in the mail that I had to try because I'm a boot girl. I love boots, but wow, I'm never going back to Tecovas, you guys. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores have leather and custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's Tecovas, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots. What if there was someone who wanted to help you find a job? Not a website, but a person in your community that would help you for free? Choose Express Employment Professionals, and that's exactly what you'll get. Express Employment Professionals is the local jobs expert you can trust, and they never charge a fee to help with your job search. Go to expresspros.com to find the office near you or download the Express Jobs app to get started. With a wide range of opportunities in a variety of industries, from welding to sales, forklift operator to customer service, the team at Express is ready to help you or someone you know take the next career step. Whether you're looking for a contract job for the summer or a new full-time role, turn to Express Employment. Interviewing with Express Employment Professionals can be as easy as a phone call, and one application with Express puts you in the running for numerous opportunities in your community. Don't go in your job search alone. Visit expresspros.com today. Hi, Mark.
So Ethan caught me up on what you guys were talking about before.
Yeah.
A lot of that seems to be the theme of the beginning and end of the show was a lot of that from And Just Like That.
Oh my gosh.
So wait,
did you watch?
I watched And Just Like That, but I must have missed that.
The two different full frontal male
Yeah, I must have missed it. I don't know how, because I watched it. But I must have like been talking to Ian or something.
But I was also looking for it because
I don't know how I missed it. Because I don't know.
They were both pretty quick, but
okay. It was like,
well, question for Catherine. If there's two in And Just Like That, I would like to know where rank the three that you've seen in the past 24 hours.
I looked away so fast when I figured out what I was looking at. And can we please just again talk about the angle? The angle matters in this situation.
Yes, and we didn't get confirmation. Was it top down? Was it from below?
I cannot tell you between Harry, which surely that was fake, and the guy at the door. Whoever that guy was. You missed them both. So
I missed them both, so I don't know. I mean, I was very happy with the photo, but you know, it was really just meant for me, not my best friend. So
no, it was not meant for me, and maybe that was part of the problem.
What strikes me is that while dating has changed a lot in the past 25 years since I've been out of the game, because that seems like standard operating procedure. Like, it's no longer for weirdos anymore. It's like standard.
It's like normal, standard. It's totally, yeah.
I mean, that was the only one he's ever sent me. Because it was like,
it wasn't weird.
It was like, it was, because I was about to do like the wind down thing with the girls. And like, so he was like,
was it a joke?
Yeah, we were being like.
I thought it was like kind of a joke.
Yeah. And then, because I had said that I have never like sent a thing.
I don't think it was.
So when I
like
saw
it,
I was like, ah!
And then okay, I was so it was like, kind of requested, but kind of a punchline to the conversation you were having.
Yes.
I don't want it to seem as...
Okay. Like he wasn't just like, here's my dick.
I mean, I'm assuming. I don't know. I looked away so
I
fast.
Definitely thought it was unsolicited.
No.
10 o'clock in the morning?
So no, it wasn't 10. It was, God. No.
It was before the girls went.
Was at like 8 o'clock. Yeah.
I don't know.
That night, in the evening.
In the evening. Yeah. And it was like, we were like joking and like being like,
because flirty. I had a lot of wine. And then I saw that. And then I was like, yeah.
We all had a lot to drink.
Yeah.
Ian included.
I see. Yes. And did you send him something back?
No, I did not.
Okay. All right. Good. Okay. This is better. Yeah. This seemed a lot seamier when it was first described to me, but now I think I'm okay with it.
Thanks, Dad.
Because really, that should only be done for the purposes of eliciting laughter, in my opinion.
Yes.
From the male side, anyway.
Yeah. I was telling Janet earlier, like, I don't think anyone really wants that.
I don't think so. No.
Like, I know it's like things can get hot and heavy, but like, I think the amount of women and men that are like, oh my God, I really want to see a picture of a penis right now. Like, I just feel like that fraction has to be so small. But, so small.
It's fine. On the other side, like, men want to see topless pics all the time.
All the time. 10 in the morning's fine. Anytime's fine.
So, 7 a.m. Why are we discriminating?
Why are we dick shaming my boyfriend?
In all fairness,
I mean, we're just wired differently. That's all we're saying.
Okay, so it's okay for guys to get boob photos, but it's not okay for girls to get dick pics.
I'm not saying one's okay and one's not okay. Whatever you want to do in your relationship, we're just saying it's just kind of funny that it's never really enjoyed from the female perspective, and it's always enjoyed from the male perspective.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah.
It was Jerry Seinfeld that said. A woman's body is a work of art and a man's body is a Jeep. It's meant for utility, moving things around, getting things done. And a woman's body is to be admired. And
I mean, I will say though, I love getting like, you know, pics where like I'll send like a, like, ooh, look how cute. And then like he'll send a cute. We've done that like twice. Like a gym photo, like his body's sexy.
Oh, but like, yeah, your body. Oh. Yeah. Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's happened.
But it's like when
times.
Women go to a strip club. They're screaming, they're laughing, they're yelling, they're having a blast. Men go to a strip club and just stare. And it's just, that stare is not good.
Man.
Yeah.
I don't think. Wow. I don't like that. Like, would you let Nick go to a strip club?
It doesn't bother me.
Oh, see, that bothers me.
I mean, I don't think he has since we've been. Well, he went like with his brother before he got married or something, maybe a long time ago.
It don't bother me. Do you guys go?
I've been to one in my entire life. It was in 1996 in Phoenix, Arizona. And we sat near the door and I talked to the bouncer the whole time because I was so fascinated by this little world, this little microcosm of all these people, these women who, do they really want to be here? Do they hate this? Are they miserable? And do you have to walk them to their car at night? And I was really fascinated by that. I really got a lot of information out of this guy and I've never been back.
Would your wife be mad?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Most
I mean,
would.
Every relationship's different. Yeah. I think most women would, yes. But some are fine with it. Catherine, you're fine with it.
I mean, if he was doing it like every day or every other week or often, I mean, I think he's gone once since we've been married in 14 years. So if it was like if I felt like it was a problem and it was something that he was doing, then yes, I would definitely have a problem with it. But like going with a bunch of guys for a bachelor party, that doesn't bother me.
It all made me uncomfortable. Like one woman walked by in a schoolgirl skirt and braces. And I thought, man,
that's uncomfortable.
Really appealing to the lowest common denominator here. And I'm here and I'm a customer like that. I don't belong here.
That's a problem. Yeah. I don't like that.
Yeah.
Bearded Mark.
I went when I was 16 and they didn't card me. It was the best thing that ever happened. And, I went with my friends for their birthday and this woman came up to me and she's like, do you want to dance? And I thought she meant like dance, like on a dance floor. Like I sincerely thought that. And she brought me to a private room and I was like, oh man, how much is this going to cost me? And she broke down the prices and it was 60 for full nude, 40 for topless and 20 for like in her bikini. And so I went to the ATM and pulled out my last $20. There was an $8 service charge on that ATM. And her name... Her name was Illusion.
And Oh, sure it was. Good.
We went into this. She was very nice. She's very attractive, larger black woman. And we go into this side room. And it was like there was like a bench alongside a wall. There was an older man in there giving someone a back massage. Oh. And then she starts dancing on me. And the song Faint by Linkin Park was playing. Oh, wow. And I didn't know what to say. And so I just said, I really like the song. And she's like, I do too, baby. And then she put my hands on her.
Oh, my God.
I'm like sitting on my hands thinking like, okay, in the movies, they say you can't touch them. She put my hands on her and it was wild and so insane. And then I had to figure out how I was going to get home because I spent all my money there. But,
oh my gosh. I wonder where Illusion is now.
Good story. I know.
That was the crazy horse in San Francisco circa 2004 or whatever it was.
Wow. This episode is just below the belt.
It really is.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Well,
on that note.
On that note, I'm just imagining Easton getting a lap dance right now with and Mark talking to all the girls saying, why are you here?
Do you want me to call your dad for you?
Can I be your sugar daddy? Okay, guys. We're going to clean it up next week and we're going to get a pastor on. Okay. <I'm kidding. laughs> Y'all have a good week. See you next week.
Hey there, mamas. Everyone knows how it goes. You're giving it your all to breastfeed or pump for your little one. But there are times when you might need a little extra help. That's where traditional medicinals Mother's Milk comes in. Mother's Milk is an organic herbal tea blend designed to support healthy lactation for breastfeeding and pumping moms. Plus, it's caffeine-free. Learn more about Mother's Milk at traditionalmedicinals.com/mothersmilk. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You know, I don't even know where to start with this because it's the comfort, it's the style, it's the whole look. That's what I love about my Tecovas. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Shop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's Tecovas, TECOVAS.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula. Berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. And right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.